Well, I know it's been a while. It seems like it's been a while since I've been up here in the pulpit. I asked Tim, what should I do as an icebreaker? And one of the things he said was, well, you tell them that you really miss being in Tennessee, but for the sake of the kingdom, you will come here and you will suffer to be with you all. And so there is me being honest. But I'm grateful to be back with you all. I'm really excited to get into the text. Nehemiah chapter 13 is where we're going to be. And we're going to talk about taking responsibility. And taking responsibility requires courage. And Nehemiah modeled this principle very well. And I'm confident that we can as well. If you go back to, or if you go to Nehemiah 13 from the events leading up to it as we have studied, you remember in Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah rallied up the troops in order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And when you get to Nehemiah 6, we learn that even in the face of opposition and problems from within and without, they rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Then in Nehemiah 8, we saw the powerful passage where the people, they rededicated themselves. They read the book of the law and the people obeyed. But we get to chapter 9 and we learn that the people confessed their sins from the time of Abraham up until the time of the Babylonian exile. Chapter 10, the people signed a covenant agreeing to obey God's laws. And then chapter 12, there was great celebration. And so there were great things happening in Jerusalem. Now, here's the big deal. It would be great as at the end of the book, it said that everybody enjoyed God's blessing because the people obeyed him. But that is not the case. Sadly, the people did not honor their vows to the Lord. And when you get to Nehemiah chapter 13, we get a different picture. When Nehemiah returned to Babylon, as he is going to talk about, everything he worked extremely hard to restore, he found undone. The people had compromised. They did not honor their vows to the Lord as they did in Nehemiah chapter 10. And what I really enjoy about Nehemiah is that he didn't come back to Jerusalem and see all of the sin that the people were involved in. And he didn't say, oh, you know what? I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not going to do anything about it. He didn't try to make an excuse. He didn't point fingers and blame. He simply took responsibility and he called people to go back to God's ways. And to make a personal application for us, that we need to take responsibility by helping our families and helping the local church to walk with the Lord. You know, we cannot leave that responsibility up to the government. We cannot leave that responsibility up to society. We have to do it on our own. And so with that, Nehemiah is going to help us do that today. I want to show a graphic of what this section in Nehemiah is all about. This is, I call the I theme. And if you go throughout Nehemiah chapter 13, you see Nehemiah, he's confronting people. He's rebuking people. He's warning people. And one section, he's pulling people's hair out, literally pulling people's hair out. And so you see this responsibility that Nehemiah took on. He had to do a lot of confronting. And let me just say, when it comes to our homes and when it comes to our local churches, we have to step up to the plate and we have to be the ones that take responsibility. It's going to require courage in order for us to act. But that is what God wants us to do if we're going to have homes that honor him and churches that honor him as well. And so with the start of that, let's get into the text. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning in verses 4 through 9. I'll read Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 4 through 9. The text says, now prior to this, Eliashib, the priest who was appointed over the chambers of the house of our God, being related to Tobiah, had prepared a large room for him, where formerly they put the grain offerings, the frankincense, the utensils, and the tithes of grain, wine, and oil prescribed for the Levites, the singers and the gatekeepers, and the contributions for the priests. But during all this time, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had gone to the king. And after some time, however, I asked leave from the king. And I came to Jerusalem and learned about the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah, by preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. It was very displeasing to me. So I threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. And then I gave an order and they cleansed the rooms and I returned there the utensils of the house of God with the grain offerings and the frankincense. We learn And Nehemiah first took responsibility when it came to the service of the temple. Now, obviously, if we were to apply this, we're not under an old covenant, and so we don't have to support a temple or anything like that, or support a priest who works, does the service of the temple. But we can apply this to the local church. And the problem is that Eliashib, who was a priest of the Lord, he was supposed to be devoted to the Lord. He was preparing room for Tobiah. That is an enemy. And if you go back to chapter 13, if you look in verse 1, the text says, "On that day they read aloud from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and there was found written in it that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God." And so this was a direct violation of God's will. And when Nehemiah finds out, it's no pity party. He starts throwing Tobiah's stuff out of the household. He starts cleansing things because he understands the seriousness of the problem. And, you know, I can't help but think about Jesus. That when Jesus witnessed people doing wrong in the temple, Jesus went in and he started turning over tables. And I often wonder, when it comes to the local church, what if we had the same righteous indignation as Nehemiah and Jesus had towards sin? That we will not compromise with worldliness. That we will not allow sin to be tolerated. You know, I think a danger that many churches fall under is that they get too comfortable. And whenever we get too comfortable with things of how it's done and we're not willing to step up to the plate and be responsible and hold people accountable to the Lord's will, then compromise is sure to happen. In fact, I read an article recently that talked about the seven dangers local churches often face. And two of those dangers were compromise and tolerance. And we know what compromise is. When we know something is wrong and it goes against Scripture, and yet we do not hold that accountable, hold that to God's word. We just allow it to happen. And we know what tolerance is. Well, that's when sin or something that's wrong does not bother us. We just accept it and we allow it to go on with our lives. The fact of the matter is we don't see Nehemiah doing that. We see Nehemiah taking responsibility for the compromise and the tolerance that is at hand. And I think we need to do that as well in our homes or in our churches, excuse me. But the next point I want to make about that is it needs to also take place in our homes. That perhaps we do a good job with keeping compromise and tolerance out of the local church, but that should extend to the home. And this is found in Nehemiah 13, beginning in verses 23 through 27. This is how the text is laid out, and I should have put a graphic up. But what Nehemiah is going through, he's showing us what the people did with regard to the temple and what they did in their personal lives. And so this is what we're dealing with in verse 23 of Nehemiah chapter 13. The text tells us this, that in those days I also saw that the Jews had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. As for their children, half spoken the language of Ashdod, and none of them was able to speak the language of Judah, but the language of his own people. So I contended with them and cursed them and struck some of them and pulled out their hair and made them swear by God, "You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take of their daughters for your sons or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations, there was no king like him. And he was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin. Do we then hear about you that you have committed all this great evil by acting unfaithfully against our God by marrying foreign women? Even one of the sons of Joiada, whatever that name is, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite, so I drove him away from me." So we learn that this relationship, this responsibility extended to the home. Now, if you look in this situation, Nehemiah is dealing with people who are engaged in foreign marriages. And going back to chapter 13 and what the law expresses, that God, he did not want his people marrying people from other nations. And what Nehemiah goes back, he reminds them of history, that you remember Solomon, that Solomon was this great king, that he was powerful and that he was beloved of the Lord. And yet, even with all of that, Solomon loved many foreign women. and they led him from the Lord. And in fact, Solomon is the reason that the kingdom was divided and that Israel, every king after him, led Israel from the Lord, which ultimately ended up in Israel being judged. And so what Nehemiah wants the people to see is that you all are creating a great evil, and you all are pretty much doing what puts you in Babylonian exile in the, to begin with. And so the question is, or the application for us, is that in our homes, are we enforcing God's law? That when our children don't see when children don't see their parents loving and respecting one another, we know that it affects the home. And when children don't see the value of respecting authority, then they're going to do whatever they want, and they are not going to learn to respect authority outside the home. I was listening to a video recently about parents discussing how they raise their children. And one of the questions that was asked was, what spiritual message have you tried hard to teach your children? And one of the women said, we try to teach our children that you are different, that the world is not going to like you or accept you because of your beliefs. And she added that parents must make sure that they are practicing what they preach, because children can detect hypocrisy a mile away. That if they see that you are valuing worldly things, then it's probably going to turn out for them that they're going to value worldly things. But if they see that you value your possessions and that you deal with your relationships rightly, then the outcome for them is that they will do the same thing. And when I saw that, I said, wow, that's perfect. That's the importance of taking responsibility in our home, is that we help our children see what the Lord and how the Lord wants them to live. And we are also communicating that and or illustrating that in our lives as well. And so that's what it means to take responsibility in the local church and in our homes. But secondly, Nehemiah had to deal with something else, and that was how the people dealt with their possessions. In Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, the text tells us in verse 10 of Nehemiah 13, I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. So I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Then I gathered them together and restored them to their posts. All Judah then brought the tithe of the grain, wine, and oil into the storehouses. In charge of the storehouses, I appointed Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and Pedadiah, whatever his name is, of the Levites. And in addition to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were considered reliable. And it was their task to distribute to their kinsmen. Well, the problem that we have in verses 10 through 14 was that in the law, it was commanded that the priests were to be supported. And unfortunately, the people were not doing their job. And as a result, the priests went back to their homes to provide for their families, and they left the house of the Lord forsaken. Now, as I've mentioned, we don't support a priest or we don't support a temple because we are not under the Old Testament. However, we can apply this to the local church, that God has authorized the local church to do some works. And one of the two of those things is support needy brethren, and that is also support the preaching of the gospel. And so knowing that God authorizes this work, how are we to obey what he asks us to do? And I believe the question lies at the heart is, how do we look at our possessions? And we have to look at our possessions rightly. You know, many people, or especially me, I don't want anybody telling me what I need to do with my money. If I work hard and I provide for myself, I feel like I can do whatever I want with my money. But how about if we took a better approach or had a better perspective? That what I have is not my own, but it is from God. And so no longer is the question is what I want to do with the money, is what does God want me to do with his possessions? How does God want me to bless and enrich the lives of others with the things that I have? And we not only need to apply this to our finances, but our time. Are we sacrificing? Are we inconveniencing ourselves for the sake of others? Are we calling people? Are we going out sharing our faith, teaching a Bible class, doing those acts of service, those kingdom things that we need in order to fulfill God's purposes in the local church? You know, if I am selfishly indulging myself to where I cannot contribute to the Lord's work, to where I cannot help a brother or a sister in need, then I may need to change my perspective regarding my possessions. I often think of David. You think about David, who was extremely rich. He was very wealthy. And yet in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2, when they were preparing to build God this wonderful temple, verse 2 says, "With all my ability, I have provided for the house of my God." And verse 3, he says, "In my delight in the house of my God, I give to the house of my God over and above for the holy temple." And then that transcended down to the people giving with all of their ability. They gave because they wanted God to know that he was worthy. And so they took responsibility and did that. And hopefully we can do that as well. But the second problem that Nehemiah encountered was how the people were using their possessions in their personal life. That's seen in verses 15 through 22. Verse 15 of Nehemiah 13. The text tells us, "In those days I saw in Judah some who were treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sacks of grain and loading them on donkeys, as well as wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads. And they brought them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I admonished them. On that day they sold food. Also men of Tyre were living there, who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise, and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do the same, so that our God brought on us and on this city all this trouble? Yet you are adding to the wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath.' It came about that just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, that I commanded that the doors should be shut and that they should not open them until after the Sabbath. Then I stationed some of my servants at the gate so that no load would enter on the Sabbath day. Once or twice the traders and merchants of every kind of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem. And then I warned them and said to them, 'Why do you spend a night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will use force against you.' And from that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath." So as we know, as the law stated, that on the Sabbath, the people were to do no rest. And one of the purposes of the Sabbath was, you don't do any rest because God is providing for you. It's you trusting God to provide for you during that time. And yet we see the people doing work. And not only the Jews were doing work, but they had compromised. And they had let the men of Tyre also sell what they were selling on this Sabbath day. And so, in other words, the nation was not trusting God on this Sabbath day. And so we don't observe a Sabbath, as I've mentioned. I think I've beat that dead horse enough. But if we apply this to our personal lives, we need to ask the question, is my work, is my job causing me to miss worship services on a consistent basis? That if possible, I may need to take responsibility and see that my hours are cut short. That am I climbing the ladder of success, but in the process, failing to grow spiritually? Am I neglecting time with my family? Am I not able to have people over at my house? Am I not able to share my faith on an everyday basis? Those are the questions that we need to ask if we're going to take responsibility as to how we're going to use our possessions, how we're going to use our successes in this world as God wants us to. Well, that's what Nehemiah had to deal with in chapter 13 regarding the people's possessions in the local church as well as their personal life. But here is the value of us taking responsibility. We learn in verses 1 through 3 that the people obeyed what Nehemiah had called them to do. The text tells us that on that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people. And there was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. And verse 3 is the key verse. When the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were of foreign descent. This is what happened because Nehemiah had the courage to take responsibility. And if he did not do that, you just think about the trouble that the people of God could have got in, that they were going to go right back into their old ways. But because Nehemiah had the courage, he called them to God's law. And I also want to point this out. Oh, wow, you can barely see that. At the end of these sections, three times it's emphasized. Nehemiah says, "Remember me for this, oh my God." And verse 22, "For this remember me, oh my God." And then in verse 31, "Remember me, oh my God, for good." And the reason I have this up here is I want to ask the question, how do you want to be remembered? That do you want to be remembered as someone who took responsibility, that your faith impacted the local church around you, that it impacted the people in your home, that you raised your children to think rightly about their possessions and about their relationships? This is what God calls us to. And when you think about this, ultimately, there was one man who took the responsibility that he should not have or that he did not have to. And that was Jesus. That Jesus came and he came to die so that we could be saved from our sin. And maybe there's someone here tonight who says, you know what, I need to take responsibility for my life. That I have not considered eternal things and that I realize that I am not in a right relationship with the Lord. Well, as I said, Jesus died for you so that you could be saved. And so if you want to take that responsibility, we ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.